question for you. After a person encounters you, after another person runs into you somewhere or encounters you, that could be in church, that could be at some social event, that could be at the grocery store or the bank or maybe a neighbor in your neighborhood, whatever. But after a person encounters you, do they feel better or do they feel worse? Think about that a little bit. Think about that. Do they feel encouraged or do they feel discouraged? Now, I'm sure that probably most of us can think of someone in maybe in our past. Of course, obviously never, ever, ever would be anybody here at Oakmount. But you can think of someone maybe in the past that honestly, you almost hated to see them coming around. Not because you didn't love them, not because you didn't want to really talk to them, but you knew that after you talked to them, you'd leave feeling worse than what you started talking to them. I mean, some people are just so negative, and they almost seem to revel sometimes in being negative. I really don't particularly enjoy being around people like that, but think about this. After a person encounters you, do they feel better? Do they feel worse? Do they feel encouraged or do they feel discouraged? And I thought, something that I can really relate to is food. So when I encounter a bowl of Moose Tracks ice cream, I feel better. I enjoy probably, I think Moose Tracks is probably my favorite ice cream, probably. I know some of you are huge, huge, huge ice cream. I mean, we've known some in the past. I know the youth pastor that I had in Williamstown, it's like every night they had ice cream. Now, that's not me. And now, of course, I'm trying to lose some weight, so definitely not me now. But when I do have ice cream, my favorite ice cream, I believe, is Moose Tracks. Really good stuff. Y'all agree with that? How many agree with that? Say amen. Now, come on, this is important. How many enjoy Moose Tracks? Say amen. All right. So when I encounter Moose Tracks, I feel better. But when I encounter guacamole, I don't. If it's on anything I got, I get a spoon and plop it off to the side somewhere and go to what's really good. Or blue cheese. Oh, goodness gracious. People, you pick the blue cheese off. There was a salad that Wendy's used to have, and if you forgot, they put blue cheese all over it. And everything was good. Apple cranberry, I think, maybe, salad. And if you don't say something, they'll put blue cheese. It's like, why did you run a perfectly good salad with blue cheese? So we all might be able to say something other than Moose Tracks or guacamole or blue cheese, but when I encounter a bowl of Moose Tracks, I feel better. When I encounter guacamole, see, I can't even say it. Yeah, whatever that is, or blue cheese, I feel worse. Think about that as we talk about the message, discuss what God has for us tonight. This is the message series. I have no clue how long it's going to be. I really don't at this point, but it's called Encouragement. Encouragement. This is part two. Where do we find encouragement in this life? Where do we find encouragement in this life? Remember this morning we talked about the statistics, and I know, you can make statistics say about whatever you want them to say, but this was pretty reputable through the Gallup poll people. Through research, 19.1% of Americans are described as depressed. That's 51 million people. And then 30.2% of West Virginians are described as, the doctor, it sounds like in this case, actually told them you need to seek help for your depression. West Virginia has the highest depression rate, according to that, whoever did that survey or collected that data, than any other state in the union. That's kind of odd to me. But and then maybe it seems like people kind of lean toward this number that 50% of Americans may not be depressed, but they're discouraged. They're discouraged. So you think about that, that's a mess of people. That's 170 million people that are discouraged or worse. So if we get in our brain, maybe you're one of these people that are depressed or discouraged, so hopefully it will encourage you. But we live in a world that definitely needs encouragement. about you, but I just think the world could use a gazillion percent increase in people that are true encouragers. Because those kind of people you want to be around. And it's like you're with them a while. You're like, yeah, this is good. You enjoy the fellowship. And you leave saying, you know, I feel better about life. And it's not because we're brilliant. It's not because we have the right thing to say. It's really usually because we're in a close walk with Jesus and it spills out. So we looked at this morning, encouragement part one, where do we find encouragement in life? And if you remember, Roman number one was by having a relationship with the God of the universe, the God of the Bible. And that's a great place to start to get out of depression or discouragement. And even if we know the Lord, we still find ourselves in a place of discouragement or depression, that does not mean, I'd like to make this really clear, that does not mean that you're not walking with the Lord, okay? There are some real reasons in life, again, genetics and chemical imbalances and a lot of things that can contribute, a lot of difficult things in life. So I'm not throwing you into the river saying, you know, get right with God. I'm not saying that at all. All I'm saying is when you are discouraged, as a function of how close we are to God, we may find that encouragement. Because the closer we are to God, and the God of the universe is described, the Father is described as the God of all comfort. Remember we looked at that this morning? We looked at Jesus as our advocate. Same word, though, as consolation or encouragement. So he gives us encouragement, and even God the Holy Spirit gives us encouragement. Remember that parakletos? It's a very similar word, a very same Greek root of the word that means encourager or comforter. And he's called several times in that Upper Room discourse. The Holy Spirit is called our comforter. So the closer we really get to God, the more encouraged I believe we can be. Now, that doesn't necessarily do away with a lot of these things that cause depression. But I want to be encouraged. I need encouragement sometimes. And I imagine that you need encouragement some days. So isn't it good to know our Heavenly Father? Isn't it good to know that through Jesus and through the indwelling Holy Spirit that we can be encouraged? I have a hard time sometimes figuring out how people that are lost without Jesus, and that was a big push this morning too. If you don't know the Lord, if you're not sure, settle it. But as I think about people who do not know Jesus and they go through the perils of this life, how do they make it through? Because I just lean on Jesus. You know, as that song said, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. That's the way I feel about it. You know, I lean upon the Lord all the time. And by having a relationship with the God of the universe, the God of the Bible, is one way that we can find encouragement. The second way we talked about this morning was by reading and studying the book of books, the Bible. Studying this book, reading this book. It is an amazing book, and it does have all the answers, but there's something inherent because its author is God, and these are the very words of God, that when you get into these pages, you just sense encouragement. Now, we sometimes sense the chastening of the Lord because he gets after our hide and says, you know, do you listen there? Gwen's not here tonight, but Bubba, you know, she made fun of me using Bubba as an analogy. But sometimes when we read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit says, hey, Bubba, and speaking to me, I don't know, that's what the Holy Spirit calls me. What's the Holy Spirit call you? Bubba, you need to straighten up and fly right. You need to do what's right. So there's lots of purposes in the Word of God, but it is powerful. It is living. And I can tell you, even on your worst day, if you spend some time in the Word of God, seriously in the Word of God, you'll be lifted up. You'll be picked up and you'll be encouraged. As I said, Philippians is my go-to book. You know, if you see me reading Philippians, you just come up to me and say, preacher, what are you discouraged about? Because if I'm reading Philippians, I mean, it's good anytime, but it's especially good when I'm a bit blah, a bit down. And I've spent time in the book of Philippians, and it picks you up. Romans 15 and verse 4, the part of that verse says that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So the Word of God gives us that pick-me-up. It gives us that comfort. It gives us that encouragement. So the two things this morning we looked at, again, having a relationship with God, gives us encouragement. By reading and studying the Word of God gives us encouragement. Tonight, a third, point number three from this message. Where do we find encouragement in life? The answer is point number three. Are you ready? Sounds like it's a game show. Reveal that answer, would you? Okay. From fellow believers. From fellow believers. Where do we get encouragement from fellow believers? And we're going to kind of step our way through this a little bit. Like I said, I don't anticipate talking very long tonight. Do I hear an amen from Tim up there on the balcony? Well, Angela did it for him. All right. That's all right. This one flesh thing is really working. From fellow believers. Under that, there'll be 4 points that we're going to look at. I'm not sure how many tonight, but 1 point under fellow believers picking us up and encouraging us. Do you realize there's a spiritual gift of exhortation? There is a spiritual gift of exhortation. For a long time, I really wanted to preach to the spiritual gifts that God gives to us. I really think we've ignored it too much as non-charismatic, non-Pentecostal people. We're a little scared of that. We don't want to go there or not. You know, we've ignored what the Holy Spirit gives us in these spiritual gifts. And you can make a very strong case. I've taught on it before at length and the different spiritual gifts that you can have. And let me tell you, we'll look at this verse in just a moment, but what happens is the instant you get saved, you receive a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not like, ooh, anything like that. It's not mysterious or crazy or anything weird or out there. But the Holy Spirit gives you at least one spiritual gift. Sometimes it's more than one spiritual gift. But it's a supernatural endowment to do certain things. Let me use it for instance, all right? There is a spiritual gift of faith, Now, shouldn't we all demonstrate faith? Absolutely. But some people, when they are given that spiritual gift of faith at the point of salvation, and it's always used to build up the body of Christ. It's always to be used to build up the kingdom of God. It's not like for someone to say, hey, look at my spiritual gift. Now, the Corinthians seem to be doing that. The Corinthian church that Paul addressed, there was a lot of division there. And some were saying, I got this gift and it's better than yours. It's never to be that way. It's not to draw attention to self. It's always to draw attention to God. So if you have the gift of faith, for instance, we're all supposed to have faith. There's not an excuse to say, well, I just don't have the gift of faith. That's not a good reason. We're all supposed to have faith, right? But some people, I mean, we drive by, we do this a lot. And I think one of my spiritual gifts is faith. I believe. You know, we're all supposed to have faith. And again, I'm not saying, whoa, look at this. And you know, my spiritual gift is faith. I'm not saying that. But it seems like some people drive by an old school building. And it's a bit dilapidated. And they look over there, and this is a Christian even, looks over there and say, look at that old rundown building. But someone who has the gift of faith, I mean, I've had Bible colleges all over the city of Clarksburg. You know, we got by a building, said, well, that'd make a nice Bible college, wouldn't it? Yeah, that'd make a nice Christian school, wouldn't it? And see, the gift of faith allows someone to not see what's just there, but to see what could be. And does that make sense? And we're all supposed to have faith, but some people have that supernatural gift of faith where they can see where this could go. And I really think God, in my life, it seems to have given me that gift, the gift of faith, where I can see the potential in certain things. And probably some of y'all say, I have that same thing. That's the gift of faith. Now, in this context of encouragement, you know, some people have the spiritual gift of exhortation. Again, the same word, the same root word as we've been looking at all of these examples when it says comfort and consolation and comforteth and all the different. It's the same Greek root. And it, this gift of exhortation, would you say that every one of us should encourage one another? I mean, you can't say, well, I don't have the spiritual gift of encouragement or exhortation, so I'm not going to be happy. I'm not even going to smile at you because I don't want to encourage you. That's goofy, right? So we all want to encourage and we're supposed to encourage one another, right? But some people have that spiritual gift of exhortation. That spiritual gift, if that word bothers you, let's call it the spiritual gift of encouragement, okay? Now, there's two heads to that coin. Just like you have a quarter that you flip, there's two heads to that coin. Head number one, or the head part of the coin, the one side of the coin, is the part of you that wants to say, you know, you really just need to straighten up and fly right. You know, I mean, you just cut through the chase. You just cut through all the fluff and everything. Part of that gift is just to tell people where they are and say, you know what? You could really be a whole lot more blessed if you just do what God wants you to do. Now, I didn't necessarily do this on purpose, but I think that's one of my spiritual gifts too, is exhortation. To try to encourage people to do right. And then the other side of that coin, and beyond encouraging people to do right, is just to simply encourage people in their walk with the Lord. You know, the kind of people that want to put their arm around you and say, you know what, you got this. You can do this. And what a blessing to the body of Christ. What a blessing to the local church to have people in the church that have the gift of exhortation. Because again, I think every one of us need to be encouraged sometimes, right? It's a rare person that doesn't at some point need a word of encouragement. And I know I could definitely do a better job of that, of encouraging people. But people that have the gift of exhortation, it's a spiritual gift. Turn to Romans chapter 12, and I'll show you that it is a spiritual gift. Romans chapter 12. Now, when you do a study, and this is not what we're doing tonight, but when you do a study on the different spiritual gifts that you can have, we of the conservative side, which we are, we would firmly believe that the sign gifts have ended. The sign gifts of speaking in tongues and interpreting tongues, the gifts of healing, they were gifts, the gift of apostleship, you know, the gift of, it seems like lately I keep hearing of these people saying that, you know, so-and-so calls himself a prophet. And I'm like, oh, okay. But we would feel that in the strictest sense, these gifts have ended. They were used in the apostolic period when the word of God was not completed. And they were used to show that they were from God because it showed power, right? Now, I know that God can heal, but I don't think he heals to an individual saying heal and bonking someone on the forehead like a lot of these charlatans on television want to make you believe. Now, but a big chunk of the spiritual gifts are still valid and active in the local church today and in our lives. And one of them is exhortation. One of them is exhortation. Now it says in Romans chapter 12, look at verse 6. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. It says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So we're going to have different gifts, right? And don't let that bother you. It's just God's plan, and God says, okay, I want you to have this gift, and you have this gift, and we can have more than one, but at least everyone has one. Now, it's different than a talent, okay? A talent can be a natural talent, and yes, that comes from God too, but it's not the same as a spiritual gift, a supernatural endowment from God. It says, then having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth, there it is, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now, I see here the gift of exhortation. Now, again, you probably know some people that when you're around, they know Jesus, and when you're around these people, they do pick you up. And they're like cheerleaders on your side. You know, you can do it, you can do it. And it's great to have these kind of people around. And it's amazing to see the different gifts working together and how the gifts complement each other. Again, it's not a competition. You don't say, well, I got this gift, I'm better than you. It's a working together. I mean, you think of a football team. That's probably overall my favorite sport to watch, and I played football, so I understand. You know, the linemen know their position, right? And they got a block for the running back, so they don't get any glory. I was a lineman. I didn't get any glory. You can tell I've handled that well through the years. But we're the ones that opened up the hole for the running backs to go through to get all the glory, right? Or we're the ones that blocked so the quarterback would have time to throw to the wide receiver to make a touchdown so they could get all the glory. Doesn't bother me a bit. No, but really, I'm joking, but the body of Christ, we should know where we belong and the gifts that we have, and that's what enables the team to function. Without linemen, you wouldn't have running backs to go. They wouldn't be able to run anywhere. Without linemen, you couldn't have a quarterback to throw. If without a quarterback that throws the ball, you couldn't have the receivers catching it because they'd be throwing it. Do you see the point? And that's the way the body of Christ is supposed to be. And I really believe that every local church should have the gifts necessary to function. It should be like a well-oiled machine. But see, the problem is a lot of times we don't want to use our gifts. Like, not going to do it. No, don't have time. I got too many other things usually in the world to do, so I'm not going to spend time. I mean, you will not find anybody more pro-local church than right here. I am local church 100%. I mean, we need to get in there. We need to get saved. We need to join the church. We need to get to serving God. We need to get and let our life revolve around the local church. Now, that's the instrument that God left in this world to share the gospel, the local church. And I started a series of sermons, and I haven't finished it yet. Sometime maybe I'll get back to it, talking about the local church, how many times it's mentioned, how much of the New Testament is written to the local church. It's not supposed to be a little distraction. It's not supposed to be just a little thing in the corner that we consider every once in a while. When we get a chance, we'll come to church. I mean, our life's really, according to God's plan, and I can prove it to you, according to God's plan, our lives are supposed to revolve around the ministry of the local church. And for the most part, the ministries that we serve in are supposed to be in the local church. I know that there's other organizations, they're called parachurch ministries, and they come alongside the church, and I'm not bad-mouthing them, but generally speaking, ministry is supposed to come through the local church. And if we're not right with the local church, and if we're not involved in the local church, we're not right with God. I mean, my story hasn't changed. Amy would know because we've been married, 40 years. Our 40th anniversary is coming up in September. So she knows. I mean, I've always been this way, haven't I? Local church, local church, local church. And if I ever change, she's gonna say, what happened to you? What alien abducted you? Because I've always felt this way. I believe that's the biblical teaching. And I really wouldn't give you a whole lot for a preacher that's not real pro-local church. But I think the local church is near and dear the heart of God. And I say all that to say this. I believe that God has gifted the local church with the spiritual gifts in each one of us as individuals to use so that the work of the local church moves forward efficiently and fluently. And we shouldn't be twisting arms and saying, well, you won't take his position because nobody else will take it. It ought to be, you know what, I want to use my spiritual gift in that area of service for the local church. And it goes beyond just the list of officers that we approved today. It goes way beyond that. But I really think we have too many people that are gifted in a lot of areas that are wanting to be selfish and keep it to themselves and not share it with the local church. And God, as their Heavenly Father, is going, what a shame. What a shame. You know, how I could use them, how I could bless them. So, there is a spiritual gift of exhortation. Everybody get that? Just give me a little nod. Don't get too excited. They will think you're charismatic. Just give a little nod. That's good. The second part. Now, we're looking at where do we find encouragement in life. This is Roman numeral number 3 from fellow believers. And point number under that, which I label as A, is there is a spiritual gift of exhortation. So those people keep us encouraged. And they're supposed to pat us on the back. And they're supposed to put their arm around us and say, hey, you got this. You can do this. Second subpoint, B to me, is the way I do my outlining. We can encourage others through the encouragement we have received ourselves from God. Now, I kind of hit this just a little bit earlier this morning. You may not, maybe that was when you were taking a little glorified nap. I'm not sure, but I'm joking. But really, let me say it again a little bit slower. We can encourage others through the encouragement we have received ourselves from God. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. If you'd turn to that, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verses 3 and 4. Now, we're talking about we can receive encouragement from fellow believers. There's a gift of exhortation. And here, we can encourage other people by the same encouragement that we've received from God Himself when we go through something. We talked about you earlier, Gwen. Nothing bad. Bubba came up. Bubba was mentioned tonight. Oh, okay. I'm not going to go any further with that, but we're glad that you're here. Whenever you can be here, we're glad. And whenever anybody, I don't know. If you're late, you're just late. Just come on. We'd rather have you here than not at all. You know, the same with kids. Bring kids if they scream and cry. I can out preach them, I hope. If not, I'll just shut up and let them cry. And then when they're done, And the same thing with being late. I mean, don't ever worry about that. Just come when you can come and take what you can get. Take and get what you can get. But why is everything a sermon tonight? You notice that every topic I get on. I don't know. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 3. It says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here we looked at this. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Now, that goes back to point number one. Where do we get our encouragement? From God the Father, right? And it says, who comforteth us in our tribulation? So when we go through difficult times, who is it there encouraging us? Now, there hopefully it's people and people with flesh on too, but God is encouraging us, right? But listen, what is the purpose of that? When we go through a trial or a difficulty, what's the purpose? That we may be able to comfort them, encourage them, you can just put that word in there if you want to, which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now, there's a whole lot of comfort going on in this verse, right? So it's saying that when we go through something, it's a learning process, right? I don't believe any of us would say, Lord, just send tribulation in my life now. I wouldn't recommend that. I mean, God knows what He's doing, but I wouldn't recommend to be praying for tribulation, but tribulation will come, right? And when you have tribulation, when you find yourself in the depths of a rocky road and it's difficult and you're wondering where you're going, and what happens? When you pray to God, God is a good God, and God gives you encouragement, right? And so God gives you encouragement. So you have encouragement. You have, if you will, you put some encouragement in your piggy bank. Y'all still with me? Somebody go, oh, piggy bank, where'd that come in? God has given you encouragement that you've stored away in your life, in your piggy bank. And then when someone around you goes through tribulation, it really means a whole lot more to say, I know what you're going through, than it does to say, I can only imagine what you're going through. Now, both are very appropriate at times. Would you agree with that? But doesn't it mean more when someone that you know has gone through something that you're going through similarly, for them to say, I'm praying for you, I'm with you, Do you need anything? How can I help you? And on, right? So really, what this is saying, one of the purposes of going through trials and tribulations is so that we'll understand God, we'll rely more upon God, we see God as our encouragement, so that when people around us start going through something like that, you can say, been there, done that. Not in a cocky way or a know-it-all way, but you know, I have been through that, and I know God will see you through. Now, isn't that a blessed part of being part of the family of God? We can encourage others through the encouragement we have received ourselves from God. Now, I guess as a sub-point of that, I'd say if you're going through trials and you're going through something, you're like, I don't get this, God. I don't understand why this is happening. Just kind of ponder on it. One of my favorite words in the English language. Just ponder about it a little bit. Perhaps God is letting you go through that to show you that He is God, and to show you that He's a big enough God to handle it. And so, down the road, you'll be able to help Joe Schmo go through it, because he'll be going through something very similar, right? And even people around us may be going through it so they can help us. So what a blessing that is. Tonight, we've looked at encouragement part two. Where do we find encouragement in life? From fellow believers. From fellow believers. The first subpoint under that, the A, is there's a spiritual gift of exhortation. And it's good to have people like that around that have that supernatural ability to encourage us. Sometimes to cut right to the chase and say, you need to do better. You need to straighten up and fly right. And then the second point, the B under that, we can encourage others through the encouragement we have received ourselves from God. And that's exactly what that verse 3 and 4, those verses are saying. So tonight, remember how I started the message? The preacher, it's gone on so long, I can't remember. Remember how I started the message? I had Tim all excited up there. I was going to preach short, but I still think it's going to be a little short. Where do we find encouragement in life? From fellow believers. I ask you the question, starting out, after a person encounters you, do they feel better like moose tracks, or do they feel worse like guacamole or blue cheese? Do they feel encouraged or discouraged? Now, I hope, I mean, seriously, think about this a little bit. You know, what kind of person could, I really believe that a lot of people, I'm sometimes afraid to ask people what they really think of me. You ever have had that? You're like, because people view us a little different than we think we are, right? Now, don't look at me like I'm crazy. You'd be kind of scared to ask some people too, because people do view us a bit different than we view ourselves. But I want you to think seriously about this. When people encounter you, do they leave encouraged or do they leave discouraged? Are they picked up or are they put down? Pretty big thought. If you would bow your head and close your eyes. Tonight we've talked about where do we find encouragement through fellow believers. And let me ask you, are you a fellow believer who encourages people? Or do people honestly, you know, when they talk to you, they feel more pushed down than they were before? I know that some have the supernatural gift, the giftedness from the Holy Spirit to be encouragers, but I really honestly believe that every one of us should encourage other people. And sometimes we need to look in the mirror at who we really are and what we're really like. Let me ask you, and I don't want you to indicate in any way, as your head is bowed and as you're in a prayerful attitude, honestly, do you think when people encounter you, they're encouraged or are they more discouraged? Again, we got a bunch of people discouraged in this world. We have a bunch of people who are actually depressed. If God is speaking to your heart that you could do a better job of being encouraging, and to be honest with you, I think we'd almost all fit into that category. Even though we may feel we're positive, I figure we could be a little bit more encouraging. So would you just take a moment and and in the silence of the moment, pray to God and say, God, help me to be more of an encourager. Help me to be the kind of person that when I do encounter someone, they leave feeling a whole lot better because of my relationship with you, because of my words or my actions of encouragement. Would you ask the Lord that tonight? And as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, let me encourage you, if you're not sure you're born again, that's the highest, most high recommendation I can make, that you trust Jesus as your Savior. If you're listening in by live stream, if you don't know the Lord as Savior, you're living on borrowed time. And if you leave this world without Jesus, there's only one destination. It's called a place called hell. And the Bible talks about the torment of hell. So I'd encourage you. I'm looking forward to heaven, and you can too if you trust Jesus as your Savior. Wherever you are, if you mean it from your heart, wherever you might be, your favorite recliner, or who knows where you might be listening in, you can call out to the Lord and mean it from your heart and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. I've done things against you, God. Forgive me. I believe Jesus died upon the cross to pay for my sins as the Son of God and paid for my sin debt and then resurrected back to life. And I now confess Jesus as my Savior. I want to be saved. Save me, Jesus. And if you mean that from your heart, you can be saved wherever you are. But if you're here in person, I'd encourage you to talk to me and say, Preacher, I want to be saved during the invitation today. Dear God, we thank you for your word and the clarity of your word, and we thank you that we can find encouragement among fellow believers. Lord, so many things when we come to church, how we can bless and encourage one another, and we just praise you for that. Help us, Lord, to look personally at how we are doing at encouraging other people, and Lord, help us to turn it up a notch. Lord, to be more encouraging, more positive, and more of a good influence on people. We pray this in Jesus' name.